This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
The Drive. First to breaking news in Kansas City.
We'll get back to the Royals here coming up in a bit, but we do have some breaking news. The Baltimore Ravens have made the decision to release kicker Justin Tucker. You guys remember Justin Tucker was caught up in massage room allegations. They released a statement, quote, "Sometimes football decisions are incredibly difficult, and this is one of those instances. Considering our current roster, we have made the tough decision to release Justin Tucker. He has created many significant and unforgettable moments in Ravens history. His reliability, focus, drive, resilience, and extraordinary talent made him one of the league's best kickers for over a decade. We are grateful for Justin's many contributions. While playing for the Baltimore Ravens, we sincerely wish him and his family the very best in this next chapter of their lives." So, the Ravens released Justin Tucker. I don't really think this was that difficult of a decision. If you think about what he is accused of, you also think about the kind of player that he is now. This seemed like a no-brainer, and I'm surprised that it took this long to happen. Justin Tucker is quite possibly the best kicker that the NFL has ever had. He is an 8-time All-Pro. He is on the All-Decade team for the 2010s. He has the longest field goal in NFL history. He has the highest field goal percentage in league history. And his career is over today. Justin Tucker will never kick again in the National Football League. There is not another team that is picking up Justin Tucker. A, it has been, I think, obvious for the last year that he is diminishing as a kicker. Like, his leg is not nearly as strong as it was 2-3 years ago. So he's not the same kicker. And I don't know how you can bring Justin Tucker into your locker room with everything that he is accused of. This would be my question to Baltimore, and I don't think we will ever get the answer to it. Are you guys releasing Justin Tucker because we found out about this? Because I find it hard to believe that Justin Tucker was banned for all of these massage parlors in the Baltimore area. Some of these incidents, alleged incidents, happened 3-4 years ago. It seems like you guys were cool with them continuing to kick then. It stayed out of the public eye. He was incredible during that time. You guys didn't really seem to have an issue with it until we found out that he was Mr. Nasty Man in these massage parlors. But it's not like this was a recent thing that happened at the end of the season and you guys now found out and made swift and decisive actions about it. No, Justin Tucker was nasty while he was a member of the Baltimore Ravens. It then got uncovered by a local paper, and then you guys made what is the only decision. No, you can't kick for us anymore. We got to go in a different direction. They drafted a kicker, so it was very clear the direction that they were going to go. They found a replacement for Justin Tucker. Younger, cheaper, possibly better at this stage in his career, and at least to our understanding, no baggage that he comes with, and they decided to go in a different direction. But, I mean, this is the end of Justin Tucker's career. We do not hear from him anymore in football. I don't know what he will do outside of football, but Justin Tucker will never kick again in the National Football League.
Adam Schefter's put out the team insists it was a football decision to release Justin Tucker. And I think we're about 12 months away from having this same breaking news alert, but for the Browns starting quarterback Deshaun Watson, like contractual, and there are some things, but like the icky part of this is I think you're onto something. Like if Justin Tucker was still banging home field goals the way he did in 2013, 2014, 2015, he'd still be on the team. And I don't know. I'm not accusing the Ravens of a cover up or whatever, but it seems like he started missing kicks. He wasn't as good. And the allegations, you got to go. But if he was still nailing kicks, I think they'd be like, we are continuing to monitor the situation. We understand the NFL has him under investigation. We will continue to, you know, deal with the process. Like, I think you hit the nail on the head. They are cutting him today because it is a football decision. He stopped kicking well, and there's baggage. In a year, Deshaun Watson will get cut, and the team will claim it's a football decision because he stinks, and there's baggage. That's like the dirty part of the NFL.
Text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, with all that being said, do you think Justin Tucker will be in the Hall of Fame? Not anymore. I think he was going to be.
That's actually – there's a lot of people who have done a lot of bad stuff in the Hall of Fame. Now, they did the stuff post-mortem, like O.J. Simpson's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but I think at least if you're Justin Tucker, if you already play a position, like let's say that Justin Tucker was Tyreek Hill. I think Tyreek Hill is just going to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame at some point. Like he plays wide receiver. There aren't that many kickers in there, and how your career ended, no, I don't think you get into there. Like football players are already hesitant to put you in their very special club. You're going to be in that special club with that on your jacket? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, you will not be in if that's the case, if you're Justin Tucker. You would have been. Justin Tucker is the best kicker we've ever seen. I don't even really think it's that arguable. I think it's him and then it's Adam Vinatieri. Those are two best kickers of our lifetime. I think Tucker was going to get in. I don't think you can vote him in anymore. I don't think he's getting 70% of the vote after all that. No, no chance. He's done. We will never see from him again playing football. None of those things. He's over. It's over.
I truly, truly hope you're right. I hope that when he shows up on the ballot, he gets low numbers and falls off the ballot because if the things he's accused of off the field are true, you're right. I don't want him in the Hall of Fame for those reasons. But man, baseball Hall of Fame voters have created this hard line. They're now the morality police. The NFL has not really operated that way. There are some guys who are in the Hall of Fame who have done some things that you're like, ugh. I mean, Ray Lewis might have killed a person, and he's in the Hall of Fame. He got in no problem. And I'm not trying to equate crimes, but he got in. He gets the gold jacket. No one seems to talk about it.
Justin Tucker ain't Ray Lewis. That's all I'm saying.
They're both maybe the best to ever play their position.
Yeah, one place kicker. I'm with you. If Justin Tucker played running back, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. If Justin Tucker played quarterback, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. Your team never won the championship, and you got disgraced? No, you're not getting in. Not as a kicker. No, not at all. And I think a big part of this is, do people like you? That matters. Do people like you? I don't think people really like him right now. So it's just going to be tough to kind of get that groundswell of support for you to get the necessary votes to eventually get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think he's done. I think we will never, at least in a football sense, he will maybe do something else. I don't know. He'll be a political pundit or something. I don't know what Justin Tucker will do with his life, but I think in terms of him kicking.
By the way, he does have a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, he was on a Super Bowl team.
He was on a Super Bowl team, right. Yeah.
My bad. I have my time.
I agree with you, but I mean, his Wikipedia page is going to have a lot of accomplishments, including a Super Bowl ring.
Justin Tucker, I forgot you were on that team. I apologize. You were on that championship team, so salute to you. All right, let's talk about the Royals. I want to play this for you. So I was talking about the Royals earlier with Steven Spector, and he has a theory about the Royals. I'll play it for you.
All right, guys. MJ Melendez was sent down on Saturday, April 19th. Since then, the Royals have gone 11-3 and have beaten good teams like the Astros, the Rays, the Orioles. They beat the Tigers on that final Sunday to end that horrible road trip. 11-3 since he got sent down. And as someone who doesn't really believe in sports coincidences, I don't think this is a coincidence. One, you're obviously replacing a player in the lineup who was hitting under 100. And then second, when a guy who's been on the roster for the last 3 years is sent down, it does send shockwaves through that clubhouse. It makes a difference. Maybe it makes everybody focus in a little bit more, thinking, hey, this could be me next. It gives Drew Waters a little bump in confidence to say, hey, they didn't send me down. I now get to play right field every day. Drew Waters, one of the hottest hitters on the team. I don't think there's any coincidence that MJ Melendez was sent down 2 weeks ago and the Royals are playing their best baseball of the season and now three games above 500 heading into a really, really important homestand where you get four against the White Sox and three against Boston. I think 5-2 is the expectation this week. And then you're inching towards Memorial Day, and that's not when teams start to make moves, but that's when teams start to say, hey, our season isn't going to happen the way we wanted to. Let's start putting people and feelers out there on the trade block. And with J.J. Piccolo being really aggressive, maybe the Royals are in a position where they're 6-7 games over 500 at Memorial Day, and they start saying, all right, who's that corner outfield bat that we can go and acquire to make this lineup a little bit longer? Maybe you add in a Jack Caglione in August. All of a sudden, this lineup that started out really cold in April is one of the better lineups in the American League and can challenge for an AL pennant. No coincidence that this 11-3 run started with MJ Melendez getting sent down.
All right. What do you guys think about this? 913-586-7965. I thought this was pretty interesting. Speck believes that the Royals sending down MJ Melendez has been a spark for their recent stretch. I mean, the timing does line up. MJ Melendez's last game with the Royals was on April 16th. The Royals got hot on the 20th of April and have been hot ever since. Now, I think there are other factors at play here. Their schedule also got a little bit lighter on the backside. They got to play Colorado that kind of got this thing going. So I think you have to factor that part in. But I do think he makes a pretty good point. I mean, MJ was part of their team. MJ Melendez in the month of April got 52 plate appearances. 52 plate appearances. In those plate appearances, he got four hits. The Royals, it is not an opinion at this point. They got an automatic out of their lineup. A lineup that was already struggling. That's why I hate the idea of, what can they do? You can't continue to do that. You could not continue to give MJ Melendez at bats every single day. They stopped doing that, and they have turned things around offensively. And it has really elevated all of them. You look at Biggio. You look at a couple of the other moves that they've made and the secondary role players. Giving more ABs to those players have been an overwhelming positive for the Royals. I don't think it's all MJ being gone, but it's not a bad theory that the Royals sending down MJ was a major catalyst for this turnaround.
I don't think the theory is that bad, and I think one of the points he made in that is why I think he's kind of right. He said it probably sent shockwaves into the clubhouse. I think, maybe not shockwaves in the clubhouse, but I think more so than anything else, J.J. Piccolo and John Sherman, by sending MJ Melendez down, and more J.J. Piccolo than John Sherman, sent a message to that clubhouse. In 2025, losing is unacceptable. We are not evaluating talent. We are not trying to develop. We are not, hey, you are one of our guys. You came up. You're a sacred cow. None of that. It is winning. The ultimate goal is winning. And MJ Melendez, you are one of the hindrances on us winning games because you are not hitting. Forget about the Mendoza line. He wasn't hitting 100. He was really bad. And I think it was a culture move as much as anything else. Not that MJ Melendez is bad, for their clubhouse, but I think it was a reawakening in that clubhouse that, hey, we're not here to figure it out together and we're all part of the team. We came up together and we're all, chummy. No, it's win games. And Drew Waters is better at helping them win games. Mark Canha came off the IL. He is better at helping them win games. I mean, Hunter Renfroe is not good. No one confuses him for good right now. But he isn't as bad as MJ Melendez was, and his defense has stopped being a negative. Like, I think that point about a culture shock or shockwaves through the clubhouse is not bad. It's not a bad theory because suddenly the team woke up the minute he ended up in Omaha.
You know what? Let's talk more about this coming up on the other side. 913-586-7965. Let us know what you guys think. Speck believes that the Royals' run has been sparked by the Royals sending down MJ Melendez. What do you guys think? Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, we're talking about a theory from our guy, Steven Spector. Spector believes that the Royals' run has been sparked by them sending down MJ Melendez.
All right, guys, MJ Melendez was sent down on Saturday, April 19th. Since then, the Royals have gone 11-3 and have beaten good teams like the Astros, the Rays, the Orioles. They beat the Tigers on that final Sunday to end that horrible road trip. 11-3 since he got sent down. And as someone who doesn't really believe in sports coincidences, I don't think this is a coincidence. One, you're obviously replacing a player in the lineup who was hitting under 100. And then second, when a guy who's been on the roster for the last 3 years is sent down, it does send shockwaves through that clubhouse. It makes a difference. Maybe it makes everybody focus in a little bit more, thinking, hey, this could be me next. It gives Drew Waters a little bump in confidence to say, hey, they didn't send me down. I now get to play right field every day. Drew Waters, one of the hottest hitters on the team. I don't think there's any coincidence that MJ Melendez was sent down 2 weeks ago and the Royals are playing their best baseball of the season and now three games above 500 heading into a really, really important homestand where you get four against the White Sox and three against Boston.
I think that sometimes we just like to, I don't know, maybe it's like the way that we watch like sports movies, like someone on the text line, C-Dot, the move sparked accountability. I don't really know if that's the case. I mean, Speck kind of said the same thing there too. Man, guys just kind of focus in a little bit more. They got a guy out of their lineup who was hitting .08, and they have replaced him with three major league bats. Since that point, since the winning streak had started, Drew Waters is hitting .348. Since the winning streak started, Mike Canna is hitting .263. Mikel Garcia is hitting .400. I don't think that necessarily the sending MJ Melendez down was some message that everybody needed. It's really difficult to continue an inning and build momentum if you have essentially the pitcher hitting seventh for you every night. That's what they had. They had a pitcher hitting for them every single night. I gave you guys the stats. In the month of April, he had 52 ABs. He got four hits. Even if you get something going in the inning, and now you, hey, you scored a run. Oh, well, MJ Melendez is up. He's not even putting the ball in play. He's striking out. So I do think there is a lot of truth to it. I think there's a lot of truth to the Royals took one of the biggest negatives in the sport out of their lineup every day and then started giving Drew Waters consistent at-bats. And Drew Waters has done really well with those consistent at-bats. You took a guy who was hitting 80, and now you replaced them with the guy who's hitting 350. It's not a surprise to me that the offense turned itself around. You have started to get the right players to contribute and get them all on the same page at the same time. Bobby had a 20-something game hitting streak. This is the best version of Vinny Pasquantino they've gotten since the injury. Salvador Perez has been smacking doubles around for the last couple of weeks or so. You've got the best version of Mikel Garcia that we've seen in a year and a half. And you've also taken a negative out of your lineup and you've turned it into some positives around here. You're right. At this point, their lineup is turned around. You're not even as worried about Hunter Renfroe. I mean, Renfroe has not been good. Don't get me wrong. But at least Hunter Renfroe is hitting like 200. All right, I can live with 200. I mean, it's not ideal, but man, I don't know what you can do when a guy is hitting 085 and striking out and doesn't get on base. You can't do anything with that in your lineup, and they had them in their lineup pretty consistently.
I get what you're saying, but I do think there's something, and maybe it's because of who MJ was as a player, because it is not in the too distant past that when we talked about, hey, the Royals could start getting good again, there were three names, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, and MJ Melendez. Those three were supposed to be the pillars of the rebuild, rejuvenation, restart, whatever term the Royals used. Those were supposed to be the catalysts. Vinny Pasquantino has largely, now not a lot this year, but largely held up his end of the bargain. Bobby Witt definitely did. MJ Melendez was not taking care of his end of the bargain even a little bit. So the on-the-field part, I think you're 100% correct, but I think there's something there to the fact the Royals didn't treat MJ Melendez like a sacred cow. Like, hey, you were always supposed to be part of the turnaround. We still trust to be part of the turnaround. They said, nope, you ain't helping us anymore. We will find someone else who does, whether that be Drew Waters or Mark Canna, who they picked off the scrap heap at the end of spring training. We are more focused on winning than how we get to the wins. And I think the fact that MJ was supposed to be part of the future and he's now, you know, toiling away in AAA had to have some level of impact to that clubhouse.
Do you think MJ is coming back?
No.
Like for good? You think he's down there?
I think if he comes back up is because there's been a rash of injury. Let me say it this way. He's not coming up because of performance. If someone gets hurt right now, knock on wood, I think he's probably the name, but I don't think he's hitting his way out of AAA.
Do you want to know what he's doing right now in AAA?
I don't think it's much, if I recall, unless he's gotten hot recently.
You want me to tell you what he's doing?
I'm fascinated.
He's hitting .170 with a .216 on base percentage.
That's not good. He's a story where in January you hear that he got traded for a AAA bullpen arm.
He feels broken.
Yeah.
He feels broken. Then I get it. You had to get him off your big league club. You think when you go down to AAA, when you've been on the big league club for as long as he is, hey, let me go down here, let me clear my head, let me mash this AAA pitching, and let me come back. Now, I mean, it's a small sample size. I mean, it's only been 12 games since he's been down there, so I don't make it seem like he's been down there a long time. But, I mean, this player, there is no reason to bring this player back on your team. And I'm with you. Unless there is a significant rash of injuries with the Kansas City Royals, I have no reason to believe that we should be seeing MJ Melendez anytime soon. I mean, this is basically what he was doing for the Royals. He has 18 strikeouts, 3 walks. He's hitting 170 with a 216 on base percentage, and he has 1 home run. Like, you have just taken what you were doing against the White Sox, and now you were doing against the Norfolk Wave. You are the same player that you were down there. No, you got to start hitting your way back up here and giving us any reason for confidence. I am with you. This does feel like some July day when it's real slow. We hear that they traded him for like cash considerations. We get the tweet that comes across from Aaron Rodgers that they traded MJ Melendez to the Boston Red Sox for a player to be named later in cash considerations, that the Royals just possibly move on from MJ Melendez. Maybe they don't give up on him, but I mean, it just, they were emphatic that they had it figured out. Hey, we fixed his swing. He's going to turn things around. That ain't what it looks like right now. It looks like he is a player that is completely lost right now.
You're right. I mean, I remember when he got sent down, we talked about on the show. There have been major successes in Royals history of guys who went down to AAA. They took their medicine, for lack of a better term. They took the demotion. They worked harder. They fixed their swing. They started mashing, and they came back up, and they were better players. Alex Gordon and Mike Moustakas immediately jumped to the front of your mind. But, man, for every Mike Moustakas and Alex Gordon story, I bet me and you can find guys who weren't hitting the major league level, got sent down to AAA, and it never clicked. It never happened. And you're right. I don't know if it's July. I think it's an offseason thing. I think the Royals will be patient with him and like let him, you know, toil away on the roster. But I think it's like we're getting ready for the Halloween game, the Thanksgiving game with the Chiefs. Maybe they're on Black Friday again this year, and we get the ESPN news alert. MJ Melendez traded for cash considerations or a single-A lottery type of player arm. It doesn't feel like it's going to turn around anytime soon.
Do you think this is the Royals' best lineup? So this is the lineup that the Royals have out there today. They have Jonathan India, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny, Salvi, Mikel Garcia, Michael Massey, Waters, Fermin, and Isbell with Reagans on the hill today. Is this their best possible lineup? Like today, if the Royals had a playoff game, is this the lineup that they would trot out there? I think this is their best chance of winning right here.
I think that's two different questions. I think right now that's their best lineup. If it was a playoff game, I do not believe that's what the lineup will look like. I think the lineup is going to have major changes between
I agree with you. I think at some point this season, the Royals will look at themselves and think, hey, what if we spent a little bit to try to go get the outfield? Hey, we thought we had enough coming into the season. We didn't have enough coming into the season. Let's take a little bit of our equity and let's try to go get an outfield. I don't expect them to make some kind of seismic changing move, but I do think they'll go out there. But I'm with you. Like, if you were trying to put together a lineup that you think can consistently score runs, I think this is the best chance that they have. Now, maybe you move Mikel Garcia to the one spot, you move Jonathan India down a little bit. We can have that conversation about where you think certain guys should hit. But it's kind of hard to argue this. If you wanted MJ Melendez out of the lineup, they did it. If you wanted Hunter Renfro out of the lineup, they did it. Like, this lineup gives you a chance to score consistently night in, night out.
I think, understanding your question better, those are the best 9 they have on Cinco de Mayo. And you're right, we can argue about, I wouldn't take Indian out of the leadoff spot. I still think he takes the best at-bat or one of the best at-bats on the team. He takes pitches, he walks, he does all the stuff. We can argue about what position he should play. We should argue about what position Massey should be. We can have those conversations. But if you said, Rob, just pick 9 hitters that you think are the best to make the Royals offense go, that's probably the 9. And even then, if we played the Royals random lineup thing in 2028, I think me and you would joke about 8, you know, 7, 8, 9, that lineup isn't exactly gangbusters, but for what they need to do, that is the most optimal lineup this team has this point in time.
Yeah, I just look at it. I'm just looking at it more closely. This just feels very, very balanced to me, especially with the way that Mikel is hitting. Like, if you are kind of looking at it and support for your big four, like your big four are India, Witt Jr., Vinny, and Salvador Perez. to me, you got a little bit of a cushion there, certainly with the way that Mikel Garcia is hitting. He had a great weekend. He's been great the last couple of weeks or so. Michael Massey's normally a little bit up and down, but I think he's been fine. Drew Waters, we gave you the numbers. He's hitting 350 since the win streak. This just feels to me very balanced, and as long as you continue to get your contribution from Vinny and Salvador Perez and you're getting your role players to kind of fill the role that they've done pretty well, this is a lineup that has turned the corner from where it was 3-4 weeks ago. That was a team that just simply could not score. And I guess to get back to the main point about MJ Melendez, like, you just had too many guys that were building holes in the boat. And as you're taking water, hey, all of you can't come with us. If we're going to get ourselves out of this offensive funk that we're in, we can't keep giving MJ Melendez at-bats and also try to get ourselves out of this. We can't continue to give Hunter Renfroe the amount of everyday at-bats that you were doing. It is crazy how, in what, 5 weeks of baseball time, at least the team that they thought was their best team, their opening day lineup, that we've now seen them play for a month and a half, that was not your best chance to win. Drew Waters gives you your best chance to win. You could not continue to carry some of the dead weight that you were offensively.
I agree. And I think one thing about the offense is that, and we've talked, Denny says it almost every week on this show. So, and Denny's watched more baseball in his life than most people combined in Kansas City. You can't have the offense relying on just three hitters. He was saying it when the offense was good. He said it today. Check the podcast page. He said it when the Royals were heading to opening day. We had him on. He said it when they were in the middle of their drought. He always said you can't rely on three hitters. Well, because of Mikel Garcia's emergence, they have another bat to rely on. And when you have four or five hitters in your lineup, now you feel like guys can be slotted in their roles properly. Fans were going to come down hard on Kyle Isbell's light hitting when, hey, no one's hitting. And it feels like, oh, you're not getting anything out of him either. But now Kyle Isbell's being asked, hey, be a, you know, a nine hitter that every once in a while gets a few hits and plays great defense. Like, if the lineup gets a little bit longer, now people kind of can fit into roles better. And it doesn't have everyone has the burden of fixing the offense. As Vinny has improved and Salvi has improved, and Bobby has been a freak show, and Mikel has improved, been, and Jonathan India is starting to get a little bit better. As those guys kind of get better and hit their roles, now the pressure on Drew Waters is less in the seven spot. Kyle Isbell isn't, you know, I got to get a big hit here because the offense is scuffling. No, just do what you do best. Freddie Fermin fits in that category too. I think when people have roles is where they thrive.
Let me ask you this question. Let's talk a little bit of football here. We'll get back to the Royals in just a bit. Do you think the Chiefs are better? Like, if I read you their team that they fielded for the AFC Championship game, maybe you want to pick the Super Bowl. That's fine. Do you think the Chiefs are better? Because they are done, right? Like, there are no more significant moves happening for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is their team for the most part. I don't even really know where they would add a veteran at this point. Maybe they pick up a veteran running back. Like, maybe they go get Nick Chubb, for example, but I don't want Nick Chubb. Are they better than they were? Because in a lot of ways, maybe this is like a bad way of feeling. I feel like they're the same, which is not a bad thing in any way. I mean, that's a team that won 17 games last year, a team that won the AFC and went to the Super Bowl, and maybe having an expectation that the Chiefs were going to be better is a false premise because of how good they were. But, I mean, I guess by definition, a team that was not good enough to win the Super Bowl last year and was not close in their game, it is weird to feel like they are the same as last year, but also not feel like that is potentially a bad thing that they are the same team as last year.
So, I do not believe they are better. I don't think they're worse. I think they're the same. But I also think, your point, the second point there, I think there was room for improvement, and I don't believe they have. Because at the end of last season, let's just use the end of the season, they were going into the season, they needed a new left tackle, they probably needed a new left guard, or they had to make some decisions at left guard, they had to make some decisions at right guard, they had to make some decisions at running back. Like, that was the offensive, what we have to get done. That was kind of the thought process. And receiver, because those are the decisions they had to make. Looking at the way the Chiefs handled it, I don't know if they got any better. There was room for improvement. There was room. You could have signed and drafted a running back other than Breshard Smith and Elijah Mitchell and Kareem Hunt. You could have improved that room. Jalen, I know they tried. There was reports they were at least trying for Ronnie Stanley. But getting the Niners backup left tackle is not, man, we've made massive improvement. There was room for improvement there. They got worse at left guard. Like, Joe Tooney's great. So now you created a hole. And I like Hollywood Brown. You like Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown is exactly what Hollywood Brown is. He is a play 13 to 15 games a season guy. He's going to get you like 500 to 700 yards. There was a chance to add more dynamicism in that room. So I just disagree with the notion that there was very little room for improvement. There was room. They took the path of, we're going to do what we know, and we're going to take what we know better than the wild card of what could be.
But maybe, and I think this is clearly the message that the Chiefs sent this year, is I don't know if the Chiefs built a better roster than they did last year. But I do think there is an expectation of, we're just not going to get hit with the injury bug that we did last year.
And I'll tell you, Hazard, that's a bad plan to bank on, because football is an inherently physical sport.
You're right. But I would say there aren't too many teams last year that had the amount of success that the Chiefs did that lost their number one running back in the first month of the season, lost their number one and number two wide receiver in the first month of the season, and still had the success that the Chiefs had. So it seems to me like maybe necessarily the Chiefs weren't trying to build this dynamic, drastically improved roster, but they are better now at running back than they were in the Super Bowl, simply because Isaiah Pacheco was not healthy in February. We believe that he is going to be healthy in September for this team. At wide receiver, I mean, I'm looking at their 1-2-3 in the Super Bowl. They had Xavier Worthy, Juju Smith-Schuster, and DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins, it is over. Like, DeAndre Hopkins' career as a viable, very productive wide receiver in this league is over. I would argue that it probably is that same way for Juju Smith-Schuster, too. So you went into the Super Bowl, and I know that you guys think they lost because of their offensive line. You had a running back who was not productive for the second half of the season. Juju, who now you think could be your fifth receiver. DeAndre Hopkins, who I think is done. That was your offensive skill position players. Now, if you play the Eagles tomorrow, you think you got a healthy version of Isaiah Pacheco. You will see where Rashee Rice is, but you didn't have access to him for, what, the last 4 months of last year. And you also get Hollywood Brown back, who just, he got there late, didn't have a normal offseason, didn't have all of those things. So I guess to summarize it is, I don't know if you can argue that the Chiefs are better based on their outside moves. I don't think they really went out and really swung big on a lot of moves. I think they made a lot of smart moves. They are better at cornerback, in my opinion. I think that's maybe the only place you can argue in terms of outside moves that they're better. But I think the Chiefs are betting on the fact of, they're going to be better this year offensively, simply because they are betting that they are going to be a healthier offense this season than they were last year.
I actually understand and agree with your point about the health. I would just say this about banking on health. Some of the names of the players they are banking on being healthier in 25 than they were in 24 are guys who have a little bit of a track record of getting injured. Isaiah Pacheco, since becoming a full-time starter with the Chiefs, has missed games every season since becoming a full-time starter. Juju Smith-Schuster is, when they signed him out of New England, the thought was, oh, he's the health is a real problem. Hollywood Brown, there's going to be a time this summer where the text line tells me Hollywood Brown's going to break out. He's not. He's consistently hurt. That is something that happens to him almost every season. The Rashee Rice one, I'll give you, is probably a little bit of a freak injury. It happened on interception. We'll push him to the side.
I think you could argue that too for Hollywood Brown.
But he's other injuries in his career have also piled up. It's not the first time he's taken an injury. So, yes, they are relying on health, and they will probably be healthier because they got a bad string of health luck. But it's not like the guys they're relying on being healthy are Cal Ripken Jr. out there. They're guys who tend to miss time.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back to the Kansas City Royals. The Royals are back in town with a 4-game series against the White Sox and also a weekend series against the Red Sox. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
We were having the conversation, are the Chiefs better at this point than they were at the end of the season? And I don't know, honestly, to be completely honest with you. I think they're the same in a lot of ways, which I have been really trying to figure out if that is a good or a bad thing for the Chiefs heading into the season. Someone on the text line makes the point. I think O-line is still their biggest concern. Last year, they had four knowns and one unknown. This year, the Chiefs are heading into the season with two unknowns, and both are on Mahomes' blind side. I do think, and to use a wire analogy, at one point in the show, they have a bad product. And they are trying to figure out how to sell this bad product. And essentially what they do is they just change the packaging of the product. And they just sell it. It's the same. We're just going to call it a new name and put in a different gel cap. I do kind of think that whatever cause for concern that you had about the Chiefs' offensive line heading into the Super Bowl, I don't really know if the Chiefs have done anything to make you feel better about their offensive line. I think they've just rearranged the problem, potentially. Now, we all could end up being wrong about Jalen Moore. That is just not something that we are going to be able to figure out in the early part of May, and we have to wait until the season actually gets going. But I will say, for a team, and maybe you guys believe this, hey, the biggest reason why they lost the Super Bowl was this. It is going to be an offseason of, I don't know if they're any better at their offensive line. In a lot of ways, their offensive line is the same as last year. It's not like it was the last time they lost a Super Bowl where they completely started over and rearranged. They didn't really take the stance of completely starting over. They are going to have largely the same foundation as they did last year. And it really comes down to, is Jalen Moore good? I'm not as concerned about left guard as maybe some other people. I mean, it's on the offensive line, but if you have the answer at left tackle, center, right guard, and right tackle, we can make it work being league average at left guard. We can make it work there. This whole thing really comes down to, are they good enough at left tackle? And I just, we're not really going to have the answer. So we are kind of in the same state of limbo that I would say that we were for most of the second half of the season. Yes, the Chiefs have a plan at left tackle, but I'm not really sure if Jalen Moore at left tackle is better than Joe Tooney was at left tackle. I just don't think we have enough information to say so one way or the other.
I actually think the answer to this question boils down to how you viewed the 2024 season, excuse me. Because, and Chiefs fans are not wrong to think this, there are two trains of thought when you look in at 2024 in hindsight. There is thought A, hey, the Chiefs were a 17-win team. They clinched the AFC. They didn't have to play their players in the final week of the season. They went to the Super Bowl. Their offensive line had one really bad day, and they got smoked. If you tighten that up, you're still a 17-win team that went all the way to the Super Bowl and was dominant in the AFC. That's one way to view 2024. There's another way to view 2024. They were undefeated in one-score games. That can't sustain. Their point differential was plus 59, which is not bad, but it's not great.
I actually think they're going to be better at point differential this year than they were last year.
It wasn't that of a 15-2. Plus 59 is not that of a 15-2 type of team.
I agree.
The outside metrics would tell you they probably overplayed with their record based on their performances. If you look at those metrics and those stats and you say, uh-oh, regression is coming, you probably are concerned the Chiefs are the exact same. So I think the answer to this question is, are the Chiefs better? The answer is they're the same, but how you view the same comes down to those two points of view. Is same, uh-oh, regression is coming because the metrics and the outside noise says this is not sustainable, or you say the same is great because 17 wins in the Super Bowl, if they just get the ball to bounce their way or lock in earlier, maybe they're hoisting a trophy. That's where I think this all boils down to. How do you view the 2024 season?
We'll get back to the Royals coming up at the top of the hour. We're going to hand things off to Vern in about 40 minutes or so as the Royals get ready to kick off their series against the Chicago White Sox. I have a slight NBA thought that couples as an NFL thought. It wasn't that long ago that the NFL was in a little bit of a predicament. The NFL for 10 to 15 years was carried by Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, the old guard. That old guard, they got old. Tom Brady was in his 40s. Aaron Rodgers is now 40 years old. Drew Brees is retired. Peyton Manning is off doing commercials or Omaha Productions or whatever it is going. And we were all sitting there as people that grew up watching this sport and following this sport, wondering, when is the next quarterback crop going to appear? Well, we got our answer. Patrick Mahomes is a part of that conversation. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. There are a lot of really good, great young quarterbacks in the league that have pushed the league forward. And now we are creating our own rivalries. We have a new Manning versus Brady. That's Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes. Jalen Hurts just won a Super Bowl. They're a very unique team with the tush push. Like, we have now started our own new traditions. It is the circle of life. The same thing is happening right now at the NBA. The NBA has been dominated by LeBron, Steph, and KD. KD's team was nowhere near the postseason this year, and I actually think that KD is about to get traded at some point in the next, 90 days or so. LeBron James' team got dominated in the postseason. And their team got dominated by a 23-year-old who looks like he could quite possibly be the best player in the league. Look at all the teams in the NBA that are still alive. They all pretty much have a common theme. Hey, your best player is under 30. That's kind of like how the NFL is right now at quarterback. So when I see some of these teams that are, well, let's go get Kirk Cousins. Are you not seeing the trend that the league is in? You need to go find yourself a really talented 20-something-year-old quarterback. And if your team's not interested in that, then your team just isn't going to be very good this upcoming season. Your team's not going to be good if Russell Wilson is your starting quarterback. He had his time as a young 20-something. That time is over. I look at the NBA right now, and it is as deep of really talented young 23 to 27-year-olds as I can remember. You got Anthony Edwards. You got Jason Tatum. You got Donovan Mitchell. You got Jalen Brunson. Take your pick. All of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Take your pick around the league. It's deep. Those superstars that we're talking about, their time's over. Yes, Steph is still around in the postseason. I think he's about to get eliminated by the new him. Sports always move forward. Aaron Rodgers, your time's over. Peyton Manning, your time was over. Tom, your time was over. It's time to let the young guns have the seat. It's Mahomes' time now to see what he does with the league and Josh Allen and all these other guys. The same thing is happening currently in the NBA. This is as deep and as talented of 20-something-year-old superstars that the league has had. It is a lot of fun. I would say that kind of like how the NFL is right now. Yes, there is a quarterback divide between the haves and the have-nots, but there's about 12 to 16 teams that have really fun, really different quarterbacks that are really exciting and fun to play, and it took time to accumulate that, kind of like what's happening in the NBA. Coming up on the other side, let's get back to the Royals. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.